Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ron, let's go right out to the Hall and Capitis fan hotline, where we find an old friend, Josh Harrison, former Pirate, now with the Phillies. Josh, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We're doing great. We appreciate you taking the time today. And we were thinking of you because last night on our air here on the Pirates flagship station, we played the game where you broke up Rich Hill's no-hitter in the 10th inning. First guy in the history of baseball to break up a no-hitter with a walk-off home run, August 23rd, 2017, on a 2-1 pitch. What do you remember about that moment?
Man, I remember for one, like everybody, we had no hits. I honestly believe he was one batter away from like a perfect game. I think the ninth inning, Jordy had reached first base on an error by the third baseman, hard ground ball, and then aimed to turn a double play to get out the inning. And Rich Hill had it going the whole night. and I just remember, it's like, man, we just won that bat away, you know, get somebody in scoring position. And I worked that count to 2-1 and got a pitch out over the plate. I didn't miss, you know, I didn't get all of it, but I thought I got enough. But I just remember hitting it and running and, you know, trying to wheel the ball over the fence because it looked like Granderson had a jump on it. And I just remember seeing him jump, and his reaction let me know that he didn't catch it. And, I mean, the rest was history. It was nuts because, you know, nobody wants to be no hit, and certainly wasn't going up there trying to break it up with a home run. But it was definitely a memory that I'll never forget.
Me neither. Being at the game, I never saw a game quite like that. And you made that into kind of a specialty because back in 2012, you ended Justin Verlander's no-hit bid with I think, one out in the ninth. Which one of those was more meaningful to you, Josh?
I'm sorry. I lost the last little bit of that question.
That's okay. I referenced that you also broke up Verlander's no-hitter in the ninth back in 2012, and I was wondering which one of those was more meaningful to you.
Definitely the home run. We won that game. Granted, Verlander's is one that's pretty cool, too. I just remember I led off that game, I believe, as the DH. And I had felt that I'd had good at-bats on him all night. I even hit one in the left center that the man, Don Kelly himself, ran down, made a nice play. And I just remember watching him throughout the rest of the game, the last three innings before I faced him. Like, man, he's not sitting in 94 anymore. He's throwing 97, 98. You know, he's got even more in the tank. So I was ready for it, and he threw me like six sliders. I swung at one, I think, that might have hit the pitcher's mound. I was so anxious. But the one that I hit, I still think it was a ball, but it was just enough up, and I got it just enough out of the reach, I think, of Johnny Peralta. But we didn't win that one, so that one for me doesn't really matter. The one against Rich Hill, I'm going to say just because we won.
Josh, you guys came so close in 13, 14, and 15. How often do you look back at those games and wonder what if, what if, what if?
I don't really like to look back and say what if because you know, it can drive you crazy because everybody wants to win. But, you know, you definitely look back and appreciate those teams. This past spring training, got a chance to kind of relive a little bit being there with Liriano, Kutch, Neil. So, you know, it's all memories that we all remember. And we don't say what if. We just remember the times that we had, and we wish we could go back and do it again, but we know wishing won't bring that back. So more than anything, it's just knowing that we were a part of history to come back to the playoffs after 20 losing seasons. And I think all of us remember what that stadium was like, that first playoff game.
Josh Harrison on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Which one of those teams do you think was the best and had the best chance to win the World Series, Josh? 13, 14, or 15?
You got to forgive me for this one, but which year was it that we won 98 games? Was that 15?
That was 15.
15? I think we had a good roster. We also had injuries, too. I think I got hurt. I think Jordy had gotten hurt. But we had, I think, Aramis Ramirez stepped in. I mean, it's very rare that you have three teams from the Central pretty much separate a game apiece. Because that was the year, was that the year the Cubs won? Or they?
No, the Cardinals won that series, won that division.
Cardinals, yeah, okay. Either way, I think 15 for us to win 98 games, and we had guys down. But it's hard to look at 13 or 14. I mean, AJ and Russ, and I don't know. I just think it's kind of hard to say. It was good teams. But we won 98 games, and we thought that was our best chance, and we ran into a hot team.
Josh, we were reminiscing earlier before you come on about how you had a unique ability to get out of rundowns and how many times we saw you do it between second and third base. Can you take us through the mindset? I don't know if you have any time to have a mindset when you're doing it, but what you're thinking when that's going on?
The first situation against the Mets, I remember I was at second base and Polanco hit the ball back to the pitcher. Looked like it could have gotten past him, and I was in no man's land. Like, all right, I got to let him get the second. And honestly, I've always said anytime I'm in a pickle, I'm going to make it tough. I know how it is as an infielder when somebody's in a rundown and people that give them fits. It's people that run, that change direction, change speeds. Because you're taught to get the runner to go hard. If you never get me as a base runner to run hard, I can dictate the pace. And that's pretty much what I was able to do in both of the rundowns. They never made me sprint and go. I was able to shuffle as if I was, you know, playing basketball or football and able to put juke moves. Even though I can't go past 3 feet on either side of the baseline, I can give the appearance. And the fact that people don't practice that way, you can see a lot of people were kind of caught off guard. Like, hold on, do we keep chasing them? Do we throw it? And it allows me to be on offense as opposed to defense.
Josh, getting back to the wild card game that everybody remembers against the Reds, you once told me, you said, people will ask me, why do you think it was so loud? And I'll say, man, it was 20 years of built-up rage. Talk about just entering the stadium that night, what it felt like.
Oh, we knew we were going to win. Because we had just finished the last three games of the regular season, I think, in Cincinnati against the Reds and swept them. And it's hard to beat the team four times in a row. But, you know who we're playing. Obviously, we knew we were facing Cueto. We knew they were facing Liriano. And to us, we was like, Liriano is much more of a you know, dominant force against the Reds than Cueto is against us, even though Cueto had really good numbers against the Pirates all the time. I think Liriano that year against the Reds was unhittable. And Jay Bruce, Joey Votto, we knew our lineup. And we had momentum, man, from when we made the acquisitions of, like, Marlon Byrd and those, and, you know, Russell Martin, them guys. So we knew coming to PNC, walking in, and they called it a blackout. I think everybody felt the energy when we walked in. It was electric is the only way I can really describe it. But being in the dugout and knowing that I couldn't even hear the crack of the bat off, you know, like all the times it was being hit, lets me know how loud that stadium was.
Josh, you got to see McCutchen at his absolute best. What was it like playing with him during those years?
Oh, it was fun, man. You know, you got to enjoy moments while you live them, because, you know, they're here. Next day you're gone, and next thing you know, we'll all be done playing ball. But I just remember I was still, you know, coming up as a young guy, bouncing around. But just watching him, it was almost like, you know, this dude, he won't get out. And the crazy thing is, the year that he won the MVP, his stats the year before were better. And I was like, man, if he didn't win MVP doing that. But, you know, a lot of it goes into playoffs and this or that. But watching him at his best, man, you didn't want to hit the ball to center. You didn't want to pitch to him. It was pretty much like, don't let Andrew McCutchen beat us. And day after day, you know, you see him make a catch. You know, guys rubbed off of that because, you know, he was a vital part of having that turnaround in Pittsburgh. And, you know, you get a guy like that and have other guys that are talented, that believes, and you play together. The next, you know, the rest is history. But he was special. He was – that's all I can say.
Talking
he was special.
Talking to Josh Harrison here on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. One more quick one about that wild card game, the one everybody asks. Do you think the crowd made Cueto drop the ball?
I don't want to say the crowd made him drop the ball because he's in control of his own actions, but I will say they might have caused him to have a lack of focus to where he just, you know, probably felt like, man, it's loud in here, and forgot he was gripping the ball. And next thing you know, it's a game. It's a game of inches, and you know, any little lack of focus, you know, we're big leaguers, man. You take advantage of it, and I believe it was the very next pitch. And I think at that moment, it was nuts in the stadium, but you could also feel the air get sucked out of them.
Josh, what's it like? It was in Philadelphia this spring training, man. It's like Pittsburgh East over there, isn't it?
Oh, no, it was cool, man. Seeing a lot of familiar faces. You know, guys that we share a lot of history with as you mentioned, playing on those playoff teams. But not only that, you know, seeing all of our families. You know, none of us had kids at the time. Now we all got kids. I say kids because we all got multiple now. But at the same time, being in a position, you know, with an organization that is in a position to win, veteran clubhouse, man, it was cool because it kind of gave a feel back to, I don't like to compare, but, you know, those years that we won in Pitt, there was veteran presence in the clubhouse. And that's what a lot of Philly is, mixed with some young guys that can play.
Josh, of course, everybody wants baseball back, and I'm wondering if you believe that the economic situation here is going to get solved, and also as a player, what you thought of what Blake Snell said recently.
You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, own feelings. You know, I won't criticize anybody for feeling how they feel or likewise, same for me, but at the same time, it comes with the territory. I don't have any issue with guys speaking out on how they feel because, you know what, nobody knows how he feels except for him. Everything's going to be personal. But you sure hope things work out, but there are so many more other concerns, you know, not just about money for us, man. There's far more important issues, families, other things. So, you know, I don't really feed into the whole, will the money stop us from playing this or that, because that's not the only reason we play this game. We love to play this game, but you know, right now we're in unprecedented times, and we got to take every, you know, cautious measure, not only for us, but our families. And for me, things got to make sense, and we're hoping we can work towards that. Seems like we may, but I'm just staying ready, man. It's been a year. Today is, I believe, May 26th. Tomorrow's May 27th, which is a full year since that was the last time I played. I got hurt last year, May 27th, when I hurt my hamstring. So for me, I'm not worried about if they work it out. I'm preparing as if they are, because I'm ready to play. But if not, I'll just keep working out, staying with my family, being healthy.
Josh, you talk about families, and you guys all have kids now. Do you think there will be certain players, not necessarily because of money, that just don't want to take the risk with this virus and not come back?
I can't say yes or no, but there probably are some people out there thinking that way. I have two daughters, 6 and 2. Somebody may have two kids under the age of 2. And these are all things that I think this situation has allowed people to realize is, you know, you got to take a step back and do what you have to do for you and your family. Things that we kind of take for granted, you don't take for granted anymore. But, you know, there may be some people that feel that way out there. But at the same time, I know if we're going back, you know, we've crossed every measure to make sure that we'll be taking care of our families. And, you know, it's going to be a personal preference. But I think these are all things that guys as a whole are going to make sure are in place. I mean, got to have our families. That's part of what we do.
So many of these rules that may or may not come about here, Josh, including no spitting, no high fives, no sunflower seeds, no showers at the ballpark. At least they were talking about that one. Not being able to maneuver near base runners when you're a fielder before the pitch. Which one of those jumped out to you where you said, that's crazy?
To be honest, apparently these are crazy times, so, you know, sometimes crazy times calls for crazy measures. Whether I agree with it or not, if we come to an agreement to play, that's not going to keep anybody from playing the game. But I think it can change the game, which is one thing we don't want to happen. But we know things are going to be, you know, different when and if we get back, even as far as structured practices. You know, we understand it's not going to be all just go. And we're going. We got to take these measures. But I think once we come to an agreement, we'll put our heads together and, you know, we're going to have to adjust, you know, if these things happen. But my wife gets mad at me all the time. I don't like dealing with hypotheticals because I can think with a clear conscience.
Josh, how long will it take you guys to get ready once they do this? I mean, if you get back by mid-July, are you going to be ready to go in mid-June, ready to go in July?
I think vast majority of everybody is going to be ready whenever that time comes. It's just a matter of we don't know when, but, you know, there can be some hypothetical dates thrown out, this or that. But, you know, guys are prepared. The only difference is, you know, we really haven't had a chance to have any game action, so that's going to be ramped up probably a little quicker would be my guess. But we'll be fine because I think once guys are back able to play, you know, that's one thing that happens, that competitive edge that we all have. Guys are going to hop right back in it.
Josh, we'll leave you with this one, and it's a story that I wonder about from time to time. And that is Pedro Alvarez and how his career went. I mean, it was such a fast rise for him, leading the league in homers or tying for that, and then troubles with throwing the ball. And then next thing you know, he's pretty much out of the game. I'm wondering what your perspective is on his story, on what happened, and whether you're still in touch with him.
His situation was unfortunate, man, to do what he did, what he does offensively, just his presence in a lineup. But I think a lot of it, too, dealt with that time where teams were making transitions into, you know, analytics was becoming more prevalent. And I just think, you know, sometimes some teams value offense more than defense and vice versa. And it wasn't a matter of him not working it, man. He was one of the hardest workers I've ever played with. Just sometimes, you know, people deal with things and, you know, sometimes you got to be able to understand players and how they operate. And sometimes a fresh start might be what you needed. And I feel like when he got his little fresh start with Baltimore, he played well, hit well, but, you know, still was just kind of weird. I don't really know how to explain it. You know, we still talk to this day, a few of us, you know, 36 home runs and was one of the last ones to sign. I think he signed in middle spring training the following year. And that's when it raised eyebrows for us. Like, you know what, man, you you never know. You know, this game is not forever. And, you know, it was a tough situation, you know, as a friend to see a guy that you feel deserves to be, you know, in the big leagues and this or that. But, you know, everybody's path is different. Things happen. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, one of those things where you know he could probably help a team, but we also know how sports are. You know, they value age, you know, young guys. And we were young guys once, and we still are young guys. That's what we try to tell them. 30, 32 ain't old. We young.
Younger than me and Ron, that's for sure. Josh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. We appreciate it. And good luck to you this season. Let's hope there is
Thank
one.
Thank you. I know, right? Thank you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.